Guy, I'm from Surrey, grew up in Richmond, went to West Richmond Gospel Hall for years, then started helping out with the youth group when I was 15, and then young adults, ran that for a few decades, and then went over to Fleetwood, and now I'm over at Village, so I just go where people need me. So real pleasure to be with you all here today. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time together. We give thanks for a great Savior. And as we were even remembering this morning, just the Lamb of God, He is the one who takes away the sin of the world. We give thanks that He rose again. So, Father, bless this time together here at Parkrest, and in our Savior's worthy and most holy name we pray. Amen. Some of you may not know me. I am a Milne brother. I'm the middle Milne brother. So there's Ashley. I think he was here last week. Okay, so there you go. You get a piece of Ashley. And then there's me. And so Ashley's the ear guy and the musician. I'm the financial guy and the musician. And Aaron is the construction guy and the musician. So there you go. There's the three brothers helping out at Anvil for years. So just a real honor to be here today. Who is the toughest person you have led in your life? Toughest person you've led in your life, or group of people. Anvil was mentioned. I think that was my, I don't think I've missed a year in 38 years. I run the sports and music there. And this was the first year I missed. But I remember back when I was counseling, you know that type of kid that, you know, he looks like a little rascal, only you dip him in something nasty, and he just, like he's like a little rascal with spikes. So he walks up to me, and he says, I was about 15, and he's like, I'm going to kill you tonight. So this was my introduction to counseling, and I'm just like, oh, I said, nice shirt, you know, ACDC, you know, oh, hey, how you doing, man? Did you not hear me? I'm going to kill you, slit your throat tonight. And I'm like, oh, this is the spawn of something nasty. That's his, wow. And he opens up his jacket, and he has stolen a meat cleaver from the Anvil kitchen. Now, I didn't know these things existed, except in cartoons, maybe Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, maybe in a horror movie. But no, apparently we keep them hanging in the kitchen so kids can take them and terrorize the counselors. So his name was Adam. Adam ended up becoming a Christian, and I saw him years later with his family. He's like, Alistair, Anvil. And I'm just like, woo-wee. So that same energy is now directed toward things of light. I just like, oh, thank you, God. You know, thank you, God. So here's a guy that I don't even think, man, this guy should be just locked up in a jail for the rest of his life, right? And, you know, this guy's future is not looking good. And my life as a counselor actually didn't last that long. I think it lasted one more year, and then they banished me to sports crew. So apparently they didn't think I was good at controlling kids. Yep. But I was thinking of Gideon, chapter 7 we are in today, Judges. You had chapter 6, right? He was a very unlikely leader. Ashley probably led you through last week, right? He's the weakest clan. His dad doesn't think too much about him. Yeah, whatever. Kind of like the Joseph thing. Oh, yeah. Or David, even. He's, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah. And Jesse's there to anoint somebody. And Jesse's like, you know, I'm sure I'm supposed to be here. Do you have another son? And he goes, yeah, but he's looking after, like, sheep. Bring him in. It's kind of like one of those situations. And, but amazingly, God uses him. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, he sneaks out at night. He convinces, there's about 10 of them, and they pull down, as you learned last week, the altars of Baal. And this was, they were told to do this back in Deuteronomy, right? Don't marry them, kill them, and rip down their idols. That was the order from God. I'm just like, woo! Well, yeah, like, thank goodness, yeah, I consider myself pretty tough because I'm from Surrey, but man, I did not grow up like that. And Saul, remember, he let people live. And he, oh, let's marry them, and let's blah blah blah, and David and did things a little different, and here we are with Gideon though, and he's wiping them out, as we're going to see in this chapter. But he influences, and it's very interesting. It's usually the father that inspires the family, the father that inspires the son. In this case, it's the other way around. The father is quiet because he doesn't want to die. But now his son is pulled down, as you learned in chapter 6. All these Baal altars rip their heads down with his buddies. And where does the village come to? They come to Gideon's dad's door. Where's your son? We're going to kill him, as you learned. And this is so cool, the way inspiration works, because Gideon now has inspired his dad. Suddenly his dad's spine goes back. And he goes, you know what, to be honest, if your God's real, let him put his own head back on his body in the grove. And Gideon's like, oh, let's go. And then as you read, Gideon blows a trumpet, and then they come from Asher, Naphtali, start coming out of the people. It's like a Michael Jackson video. Everyone's coming out to why? To get rid of these Midianites. And here we are today, and right in verse 2 of chapter 7, what does God say? Too many have come, literally thousands. He inspires his dad with his vision, right? He has an attitude of faith and belief. He takes action, so courage to do, right? And then this achievement's about to happen. In verse 2 says, hey, we got too many. Let's read it here. What does it say? Verse 2 of chapter 7 in Judges says, and the Lord said, you got too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Alistair, put that in your language. God's saying, hey, look, we got too many. And because of that, everyone's going to think that they all did it. You know, you go to the gym, I worked out. I built this. I did that. I fixed the car. I'm like, yeah. God says, get rid of them. Something's going to happen. I want to, let's jump to verse 15 here for a second. We'll come back. There are characteristics of leaders which we need. And there is a God you need to walk. And perhaps for some of you, this may be the tipping point of you being aware of a better relationship with your God here this morning. Let me say that again. How you relate to your Savior and how you relate may change today. So I'm just asking you, as we go through this, just be honest with yourself, okay? Just be honest, because something's going to happen. Look at verse 15. It says, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped and returned unto the hosts of Israel and said, arise. In other words, let's go. So there's something that happens. He worships God because of something that he has heard just a few minutes before. What does he realize? He realizes that God is with him. And if anything you remember with the guy in the blue suit who came to Parkcrest on this Sunday in October, I want you to remember the word with for the rest of the year. This will change your life. With. God's with me. I'm going to go. I remember my brother-in-law, Ruben, tallest Mexican you'll ever meet. He asked me one time how my walk with God was going. Alistair, how's your walk with God? And I said, hey, it's pretty good. You know, the youth, and I proceeded to tell him all the great things that were happening with the youth group and the young adults group. And honestly, I did feel we had the best team and God was really moving and it was the place to be in the Lower Mainland in Richmond. And I went on and on, oh, is this what's going on? And he goes, hey, that's great. He goes, that's not what I asked. I'm like, oh, I said, what'd you ask? He goes, how's your walk with God? There's the word with again. You know what, guys? I did not know how to answer him. And I, at that point, was about 24. I didn't know how to put the words together to answer that simple question, even though I became a Christian in 1976, when I trusted Jesus for the first time as my Lord and Savior, realized I was a sinner, realized Jesus died for me, realized he rose from the dead. And I said, I want that. Years go by, he asks me a simple question, and as a Christian, I can't even answer it. Last year, the word with came up again. This is my old Sunday school teacher now, Bill McCracken. He goes, Alistair, I haven't talked to him in years. Alistair, how you doing? I said, great, Bill, Super Bill, what's up? He goes, I bought a Mustang. I said, wow, that's great. He goes, you and me, we're driving across Canada. This is his opening line. It's barely hello, how's the family? You know, how's the kids? Nothing. I bought a Mustang, you and me. I want you to come with me. With, there it is again, with. We're going to drive across Canada. I'm like, really? I said, I've never done that. Want to come? I said, well, man, I got a business to run. I got commitments that I've, you know, I bought me a cow. No, just kidding. No, but it's one of those things, and I'm just like, oh, Bill, Super Bill. Hey, man, I love it. He goes, think about it, Alistair. The stories, the music. 6 days in one direction. We'll have a burger and we'll turn around. 6 days of stories, laughter, and music all the way back. Me and you. Me with you. Come on. I'm just like, dude, are you trying to get me killed by my wife? Like, no. No, I'm not doing it. Bill, I love you. Click. And as I thought about that, guys, I'm sitting there and I'm going, isn't that one of the coolest compliments to say about somebody? Not the concert we went to. Not the food on Robson Street. No, Alistair, forget. It's just, I just want to be with you. And as I sat on my couch, I'm like, Bill just wants to be with me. With. It's different. He knows how to get there. I know how to get there. Shoot, I looked it up last night. Surrey to PEI, have a burger, come back, boom, 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 4,600 kilometers, blah, blah, and traffic is light, it said. Traffic is light. He knows how to get there. I've never been, but I know how to get there. Al, you always should book a hotel all the way. No, I'm just going to arrive. I feel like driving the whole, you know, 6 more hours, that's good, and then I'll sleep. Whatever. I'll figure it out. This is going to tell me which way to go. No, he knows. He just wants to do it with me. Wow. Perhaps you have grown up. Follow me for a second here. Perhaps Gideon is inspired because he knows God's with him. It's different. And now he's going to attack with not a lot of men. It says they're lined up like the sand of the seashore, like grasshoppers, and he's only got 300. Very famous story. A lot of us have taught this in Sunday school, right? Perhaps your view of your relationship with God is kind of like, okay, let's picture a triangle. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. Just put God in the middle. And I want you to draw yourself as a stick person underneath it. So this is life under God, right? It views God as a deity that needs to be appeased. We receive blessing and avoid punishment. I'm going to put it like that. And it makes sense. Like there's truth in that. There is a reverence we need when it comes to these things. We know that. But if that's all I have, I'm going to get a blessing and I better do this so I don't get punished. If that's all I got, I'm in trouble as a Christian. I am not living a vibrant Christian life. What if it's above God? Picture the triangle again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God. But now draw yourself, this little stick figure, above him. It's like, Alistair, I would never do that. But we do. There was a book that came out a few years ago in the 90s. It was called Jesus CEO. So now you take Jesus' characteristics, you don't need him, but the way he does life, and just do that with your team, and it'll work. So in other words, it's kind of like my old Sunday school teacher. He can get there, but he doesn't need me anymore. Imagine in mid-college, you're like, Alistair, you know what, forget it. I know how to get there. See ya, click. I know how to fill up gas. I know how to pay for a hotel. I know how to sit in the sauna for a few hours, regenerate, buy some cheesies, and keep going. And we do this, right? John Lennon, I was in high school, and the girlfriend at the time kept playing this song that John Lennon wrote, which Rolling Stone put as one of the greatest songs of all time. And it really bugged me when she played it, because it has this line. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try, right? It just bugged me. I'm just like, I didn't grow up like this, right? But, and I get it. Like, Kennedy's been shot, Vietnam War. Like, I get, you know, Martin Luther King taken down. I got, and in the end, the sentiment is just like, imagine no heaven, no hell. We don't answer to nobody. I understand it. But that is what we're talking about. In other words, let's just take what, and it'll work. But the same thing rings out, guys. The with word is with. That is what Gideon is all about here. You're like, Alistair, well, what about life from God? What can I get from him? Draw the same triangle in your head. Draw yourself on the outside, taking a box out. Am I doing things to get things from God? We can also do that, right? Remember the older brother in the prodigal son? Remember, he was the one that stayed loyal. He was the one that was diligent. And even when he comes, his little brother comes back, he's like, man, Dad, I've been here the whole time. I've been here to notice where is he in those triangles? He's on the outside taking a box. I did this. Therefore, don't I get that? Where's my party? Where's my ring? Dad. But the younger brother is also guilty of the same thing. He took it all up front, wasted it. We all know the story. We've taught it. Remember? Live with the pigs. And what does he say? My dad has bread enough and to spare. I'm going to go. Is he motivated to, does he really want to see the Father? I'm just saying. I'm just being real and honest. Or is he just wanting to improve his circumstance? I'm just saying. And then there is life for God. You say, oh, so that sounds good. That's me. And I just want to be careful of this because it would be the same answer as I gave my brother-in-law, Big Tall Reuben. Alistair, how's your walk with God? And I proceed to tell him all the stuff I'm doing for him. For God. Life under God. Life above God. Life from God. And now we have life for God. Oh, that sounds great, Alistair. Careful with this one, because now the mission actually replaces the relationship with Jesus. What you're doing. Have we ever met these people? Oh, just come on. Oh, yeah. And you make apple pie and blah, blah, blah. Youth groups come in. Bye, bye. That's not Christianity. It's weird. So here, the mission becomes the whole thing. And I've been guilty of this. I'm doing this for you, God. Doesn't that equal that? I got a good buddy of mine's wife. I call him Heavy. That's not derogatory. He is Heavy. And that's the name of his company. It's his empire he's built. Heavy, DJV. And his wife is battling cancer, and so is his daughter. And you would think with all the people that he helps out, that God would help. Okay, I'm just going to quickly heal him so that Heavy can just help out these people. It's not the way it works, though. Alistair, I want to be involved in your daily activity, not just the people, not just my next door. Do my next door neighbors know my name? What about the subway girl who makes, do I walk in and say, hey, listen, just give me the same as regular, hurry up, I'm late. Is that the way I'm interacting with someone who does not know Christ? Or am I walking with Christ so that the words actually make a difference? Hey, how you doing? I'm not trying to pick up the person. I've been married for 29 years. I married up. I know my place, right? You, some of you are looking at me blankly. That means I wasn't quite good enough for what I married, all right? You want to understand? Okay. Some of you have maybe been there. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's driven, right? Lots to mock here in the blue jacket. Gideon is here in verse 2, and God says, you got enough. We don't need him. Take him down to the water. Goes down to the water, and ever since I heard this story when I was a little kid, there were folks that said, went down on their knees and slurped it up. And I said, I would never do that. There would be 301, because I'd be the extra guy. Because I would be so scared of a fish or a spider or whatever. And what about the enemy? I want to have one eye up. And ever since then, that's how I drink water. If I'm, you know, when you're a kid or kids, you know, I never drank directly from the thing. It was always like that. I always slurped it up. And God says, great, 22,000, it says, leave. Guys, 22,000. He still's got 10,000 that he's got to get rid of, right? So we all know the story, and it continues to go. So 9,700 leave, and in verse 7 it says, the Lord said to Gideon, by 300 men that lapped, I'll save you. And it goes in verse 9, it says, and it came to pass the same night the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered them into your hand. Now watch this, he goes, but if you're afraid, so that just happened, sorry, I forgot to mention that. That was the first 22,000 that left. They were scared, and we all get that. I was scared of the dark till I think grade 11. I'm serious. And but the art teacher told me to draw the thing I fear. And you know what I drew? I drew my closet. It's like therapy for me, just as a little sidebar. I was scared of the dark. And I have Jesus in my life. I would never let my hand hang under the bed like that. That thing's going to pull me right under, eat me, whatever's underneath my bed. No, I drew the hands of a monster coming out of the closet, and I drew myself at my desk with my Ghostbusters poster behind me. I wasn't even aware I was being watched, and this thing's about to eat me. I finished it. I handed it in. He goes, that's what you're scared of? I said, I am. You know what? I've never been scared of the dark since. Isn't that weird? Someone's going to have a dream. God says, hey, Gideon, if you're scared, take your servant, Phura. Take your servant, Phura, down to them and listen to them. So here is a hill, it says, and all these Midianites are in the valley. He goes, go with your servant. He gets close enough to listen to two soldiers taking watch. And he goes, hey, there was this loaf of bread. I had a dream. And the loaf of bread fell down. It was like a barley loaf. And it ran over the tent. Gideon's listening a few feet away. And it says his fellow, it says, the fellow says, oh, well, that's verse 13. That's Gideon. God's with him. Gideon's the barley loaf. He's going to take us all out. Gideon here, that's all he needs. God has a sense of humor. Hey, Jesus invented humor. And all Gideon hears is these two guys talking. They're supposed to keep him watching. Go, oh, I had a bad dream. Barley loaf fell down, ran over the tent. Where the tent? That's Gideon. God's with him. Oh, man, guys, that's all we need to be inspired? Then that's exactly right. Because it says in verse 15, he worshiped God and returned. He says to his team, arise. Arise, and they go. You know what, guys? We read that they don't even have swords. I'm just saying. God says, hey, get a trumpet. I want 300 trumpets, and I want a jug with a light in it. Now, I don't know about you, but last time I checked, I got two hands. Where am I going to put my sword? And Gideon says, just do what I do. Smash. Like, that's how they're going to fight. Isn't that awesome, guys? When you realize God is with you and he has, even in the dark moments, maybe they're not even dark, maybe they're just gray for you. It's different. God is with you. Alistair, I want to be with you. Do you want to be with me? You know, I have this, if you ever get a chance, I know she's taken a little bit of heat over the years, but I like it. It's a Sarah Young devotional. You guys know what I'm talking about? Just nod your head if you, yeah, Sarah Young. She writes her devotionals as if Jesus is sitting on this piano right now. And Jesus is sitting there. He says, Alistair, you didn't talk to me today. And it's not done guilt-wise. It's not, hey, like what's going on? She writes like that. And it's very, and so when I read it with my family, I'm just like, it forces me to be more a real Christian. It forces me to do that. Because there are things that the best do. You know, in Chronicles, guys. In Chronicles, there in 1 Chronicles, I'm just going to turn to it. Because the best are doing something, guys. Folks that have a close walk with God. I've written down here, yeah, the first 10 chapters in First Chronicles. He goes like, Alistair, I thought we were in Judges. Just hold it for a second. Just let it simmer if we're cooking. Just, we're going to cook something else on the other thing. We're going to bring it here. Because David is going to do something, and I think we can learn from that. I'm going to give you three S's. Sit, smote, and sad. Sit, smote, sad. Or another way of saying it, we worship, as we've just seen, war, and weep. Because the first 10 chapters cover 3,000 years. And then the rest of the book covers 30 years. And who's it about? David. It's about the ideal David. Not the actual David, the ideal. You will not read of his own son ripping the kingdom from him. You won't read about it in First Chronicles. It's written from a loyal friend. It's an editorial on David. You won't read about Bathsheba. You know, oh, David slept with her. You won't read it. It is called it's written to protect, like a good, like I would write for a good friend. Yeah, but Alistair, your buddy did that. I said, let me tell you something about Billy, all right? When I was at the side of the road at 3 a.m, guess who I called? Billy. Billy was there in 7 minutes. And he never mocked me. Well, we laughed, because that's the fourth time that happened to Alistair. No, just kidding. Not actual events. But it's one of those things, guys, where David here sits with God. In chapter 17, it's in First Chronicles, it says the very first few words. Now it came to pass, David sat in his house. And what's he talking about? Then Nathan said to David, do all that was in thy heart. God is with thee. See what's happening, guys? Look at verse 16. And David, the king, came and sat before the Lord. There's your S. If you're having a mediocre Christian life or a mediocre Christian week, try sitting with God first, as Gideon did. He worshiped. There's another, right? If you want to go with the W's or the S's, all right? And then David spends the next three chapters, guys, wiping out people, 22,000, another 18,000. And then he takes out 7,000 chariots. I can't even picture that in my head. And then 40,000 footmen. And then you know what it says? He puts in garrisons so these bad guys don't come back again. A garrison. So another. So if anyone wants to attack what God has built and what David has purged, ain't going to happen on David's watch. Whew. You talk about knee deep in blood, guys. David is sitting with God and then he smotes. Why? Because God told him to. Get rid of the evil. You have it in your life as well as mine. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Devil's getting a lot of, oh, yeah, devil made me do it. No, just your own flesh did. You never sat with God today, Alistair. What do you expect? The flesh is going to come out. So I'm saying this like this, guys, today, so you can learn from my mistakes. Some of you are younger. Some of us are older. That just means I've made more mistakes than you, and you can learn from me. Alistair, what are you saying? I'm saying a five-star tip is sit, smite the things in your life. So if there's stuff that comes up on your phone, take it off. Right? Shoot. They even do that at work with me because they want guys focused in. Right? Can't see certain things on here. Right? Smite it. And then something very simple happens. And a lot of us can relate to this. Something very simple happens. Like my example with the subway girl, right? Oh, hurry up, I'm in a rush. Blah, 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 blah. In that moment, as soon as I walk out, she's like, Alistair's an idiot. If that's what Christianity is, he's an idiot. And I think the same thing. Something very simple happens. God says, David, don't count all your stuff. David goes and counts all his stuff because the people told him to. Sounds very simple. He's been so obedient. And it's just so simple. Just count the stuff. God says, don't count the stuff. It's innumerable. It's galaxies of it. Don't count it. David counts it. But it's actually in chapter 21. So he sits before God. He smites and then he is sad. Why? Watch this. And Satan stood up against Israel. Whew. But does Satan come as in a red cape with a bunch of stuff around? No. He provoked David to just count his stuff. Guys, this is where we fall. Can you relate? Something so simple. And he's sad. At least David is sad. He owns it, If you're going with the W's, he worships, he wars, and then what? He weeps. He doesn't just brush over it. Yeah, but God, that's nothing. I've done all this for you, right? Because then it goes back to that relationship with God in the triangle where, hey, God, I've done this. Therefore, doesn't that equal that? It's not walking with God. God wants Alistair to be holy. He wants us to be holy so we can be that light. The Bible talks about us as a city that is set on a hill. So there is three S's and three W's for you. And by the way, that is from the ideal David. We just plucked it right out of the book. Like we just stole the best part of Star Wars, right? The best part of The Untouchables, whatever great movie you like. And we just watched it. Man, I watched a scene from Heat there the other day. I'm just like, that is the best robbery scene ever. I just had to watch it again. I'm just like, what? I repeated it. I'm just like, that is wild. There's no music. It's just gunshots in LA as these guys, high-end criminals, try to get out with bags of cash. You say, Alistair, why are you? I said, because it's done so well. The greed of it. And what ends up, even though they're so good at it. Are we walking with God? How does Gideon end up? He attacks, right? And what does it say? It says, verse 19, and Gideon and 100 men were with him, came into the outside of the camp, the beginning and the middle watch, and they had but newly set a watch. In other words, you know, the changing of the guard, and these guards are talking. And these guards fall asleep. The new guards come in. And they're like grasshoppers, guys, it's like sand. And what does Gideon do? He blows his trumpet. They break the pictures in their hands. And what happens? The enemy starts killing themselves. The plan is total confusion. And God leads them in this. The toughest person you're going to lead is not Adam from Camp 4 in the 80s. He's probably now a youth pastor somewhere. All that passion is just directed over here now, right? But in each one of you there, and in me, there are three beings. There is a robot. There is a monkey. And there is, I'm going to call it a sage, someone who's actually thinking about stuff. For those of you who are Christians in here, the Holy Spirit. Someone's thinking. But the robot is probably 92% of what Alistair does every week. I get up. Got my coffee, da-da-da, da-da-da, go to work, da-da-da, little bit of workout after, boom. I'm on automatic. If I don't actually think about it, well, then Alistair, what's the monkey? You say, well, that's about, I don't know, 6%. I'm serious. You say, Alistair, it's way more for you. You look like you would be distracted with like Clash Royale or whatever is going on your phone. Oh, wow, I wonder what, oh, really? Hey, Alistair, what's the monkey in your life? It's when the guy's, hey, Alistair, we're playing hockey. I'm like, okay, let's go. Hey, Alistair, blah, blah. Hey, Alistair. And so we just go it. And if I can encourage you to learn from my mistakes again, it's to act on your core values. That's where you want to spend your time. So when they call me for hockey, it's not even on my top 10 anymore. Number one, because I'm getting older. And these young guys are fast. You guys got to compete against you guys. No. There's just other stuff I like to do. I like to coach. I like to sing, corporate events, churches, birthdays. You know, it's fun. It's fun for me. It's fun. Old folks home. I'm there. This is the face of the old folks singer, by the way. And I say to them, hey, you want to hear a love song? You want to hear a worship song? You want to hear a praise and worship song? Maybe a hymn? Sing us a love song. I said, okay, I got a love song for you. This is Rod Stewart. It's a sad one. So when I said, it's sad. I'm going to sing it. And I put my head up. This is just a few weeks ago. And this one lady's crying. She goes, that is so sad. I said, I told you. It's so sad. Well, why do I do that? Because I like to add just a little bit of joy there. Yes, my mother-in-law is there. I call her the queen because she looks like it. All right. And now guess what? I've gotten to know all these other people in the old folks home. And now guess what? I'm rooting for them as well. In fact, I don't even want to call it an old folks home anymore. They're my friend's home. I'm going to see my friends. I'll say to Catherine, come on, babe, sing with me. She's like, no way. Core values dictate. And when we're taking our core values from this book, it makes a difference, guys, in the execution, in the joy. Guy walked into my office there. We stole him from Africa. I called him Africa's finest. He's supposed to be a real smart guy. He goes, Eliste, where does the joy come from? Sorry, that was my best Australian. Sorry, I just butchered that. I don't even know what that was. Supposed to be South African. He asked me where the joy come from. It's 8:05 in the morning. He had seen a little funny little music video I did, and we're making fun of an 80s song in excess. And instead of, we put Christmas lyrics to it. I want to build a snowman. And that's what we're talking about. It's so dumb. There's nothing spiritual about it. Just wanted to make people laugh. He goes, where does the joy come from? I said, you don't want to know unless you're honest. He goes, I do want to know. You know, he's just moved here with his family. Blah, blah. I'm like, okay. I said, what you're seeing is Christ. He goes, what? I said, what you're seeing is Christ. I said, the natural Alistair wants to do what he wants to do, but because I got something inside me, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, now I got the Holy Spirit, I got some new rule book in here that I try to live out once in a while. And one of those things with my personality just happens to be joy and laughter. That's what you're seeing. He goes, well, I want that. I said, no. I said, Africa's finest. Come on, man. You are. You add a lot to this office, man. He goes, no, I don't have what you have. I said, no, you do not. And it is my greatest asset. The Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us Christians, right? Amazing when you think about it. Take up residence. When Alistair's selfish, that's the flesh. Has some time to just, you know, sometimes they get frustrated, right? Because you try to help out someone, you'll say, hey, God, did you see that? And I had a friend of mine's, they're going to kill my cat. I said, give me your cat. I said, I can't bring it home because my wife will kill me, all right? But I'm going to stick it in a cat hotel. And did you know you could pay $65 a night for these things in Surrey? I said, give me one for 17. We don't do that. I said, oh, my lens. What are we going to do? It makes you do other things. And so I began to question myself. I said, and no, this is me just being real. Is this from the devil or is this from God? Me trying to help out this guy. I honestly didn't know the difference. So what I try to walk with God. He's like, Alistair, and you know what God said in his word to me? Because I was thinking like, I'm just better than, like, get your act together. God says, Alistair, do you think I love you more than him? He doesn't. He loves us both equal. Woo! That'll smarten you up real quick in your Christian walk. Okay, pay for the cat, but I want $70 a night. Jeez, you know, come on. And then you pray about it, and guess what? The cat then starts to live at the shelter. And now it's become the mascot of the shelter for the last 2 years. Isn't that cool how God works? And it's not always good news. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes God's trying to put some muscle on me. I apologized to God one day. I said, God, I'm sorry I'm so busy. Can you please use me today? I really, you know, there's one of those days you got 7 to 8 appointments. You just go da, 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 da. I said, I actually apologize. It's somewhere in Aldergrove because that's how I drive. I drive like this. You know what happened, guys? The right wheel of my front vehicle fell off my car. And I hobble up to a house. You know what the house has as I look at it? Probably had 500 tires in its front lawn. I mean, that is pure comedy. I roll down the window. I'm like, hey, what are the odds? And these guys look like they're in a Star Wars cantina. Looks like part of the Philistine club. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, they are going to kill me. My wife has no idea who I am. I'm going to walk up in this driveway. And the only thing that puts me at ease is a lady in a rocking chair with a baby. And there are beer cans all over the garage. And I'm like, I'm dying right here, right now. But she puts me at ease because no one's going to kill me in front of a kid rocking in a garage. My wife has no idea where I am. I'm going to probably be late for my client. And I'm just like, and they disappear. And they know the tire. And then it was like NASCAR. They put on the tire. I'm like, guys, that was unbelievable. I said, I'll be right back. And so I come back with a little bit of money. I said, hey, guys, take it. You know what they did with it? They gave the whole thing away immediately to help someone else. So here I am saying, God, please use me. I want to shed your light to somebody. And God says, Alistair, I'm going to teach you how to give your money to help somebody. I'm like, what? My wife said, Alistair, would you please stop praying? Because weird things are happening, right? But this is what I'm talking about. When you're walking with, you know, I actually took that as an act of God in my life. God, please use me. My car goes like that. Like, when does that? And they give the whole thing away. What did I take away from that day? We're right out of time. I took away that day that even five guys who looked right out of a Star Wars cantina about to take my life, no, they're going to teach you, Alistair, how to give. That's what's going on. You don't give enough. And I'm like, that's how I took that. That whenever I try to help you know, different folks. But anyway, so there is someone, a robot. You want the sage, all right? You want the Holy Spirit, your robot. Because otherwise, you find yourself, seriously, the information I get at this old folks' home, I'm saying, hey, how was your life? You know what he said to me? I was married 62 years. I said, oh yeah? He goes, I knew on day two she was the wrong one. I'm like, what? When do you have these conversations? He was a pastor, by the way. What? He goes, but divorce? God says no divorce. I'm like, wow, so you made it work amongst all the darkness. He goes, I did. Praise God. But she was the wrong girl for me. I'm like, what am I having? This is unbelievable. What I'm saying is when the Holy Spirit is programming you because you're in the Word of God and then you get to execute it in your life, you are walking with God and your robot looks very different even 4 weeks from now. Because you are on automatic. You are opening up the Word of God. It's in your trunk. It's on your desk at work. It's on your phone. This is what's going to, it's going to change you. And you're going to have new things that you love. We're out of time. Gideon wins because he is walking. He understands that God is with him. May the Lord bless his word. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time together. Give thanks for so much blessing in our lives. And yeah, the toughest person we are going to lead is ourselves, Father. So we invite you today, even this afternoon. I guess what we're asking for simply, Father, is your joy in our life. Give us your determination. Give us your focus, your willingness to help others. Give us these things, Father. Give us your heart and your eyes. Father, I am just a blunt instrument, Father. Sharpen us so that we may see great things done for the kingdom of God in very small ways, Father. And may we, just like Adam, from Anvil, living somewhere now for your glory. So, Father, we give thanks for Parkcrest and what it stands for and the light it has in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.